All right. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. Charlie shared with us today's passage. 2 Timothy, we want to look at verse 1. 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to focus on verses 6 and 7, but let's read this from verse 3. I think it'll give us a wider context of what Paul is talking about here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3, and we'll go all the way to 7. All right, this is the word of God for us this morning. It says, I thank God whom I serve, as I did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Hopefully you guys are doing well for our students. Hopefully you guys had a good week of classes. I don't know if you've ever been gripped with this sense of fear, where, you know, there's fear, like when you see a spider or when you see a cockroach, or, you know, like when you have to give a speech in front of people, there's a sense of fear, and then there's fear, right, where you feel like your heart just drops out on you. I want to show this video. Do we have it? Okay, awesome. It's let me just set it up. It's a video. I think it's James Corden. Yeah, I always forget. I mix up those guys all the time. So this is a little bit old. This is him skydiving with Tom Cruise. And so I think it's a different, interesting dynamic, because today is also that dynamic of we have an older saint. His name is Paul. Really trying to encourage Timothy, right? And speaks into his life where he is challenging him to overcome fear. And we also have a situation where Tom Cruise is, I'm not equating Tom Cruise with the Apostle Paul, but I'm just saying Tom Cruise is taking James Corden on a skydiving experience. And so you see this dynamic. And during the video, what I want you to observe is just the emotional roller coaster that James goes through, and that anchor that Tom Cruise provides for him. All right, so it's a little bit long of a clip, but I think it'll be enjoyable. So let's go ahead and watch this together.
Casually wearing a sweater and jeans, and I'm dressed like this. I'm literally going to be shot with another person. I'm wearing a full grown baby gown.
Don't worry, he survives. Yeah. Right? There's a sense of fear, and then there's a sense of fear, right? Well, in today's passage, Paul reminds Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and self-control. Now, if you were with us last week, we started this new series where we're looking into the three specific exhortations that we find throughout 1 and 2 Timothy. Exhortations are this charge that Paul, so think about Paul as one of the core leaders of the early church in the first century, gives to Timothy, this younger pastor who is like a spiritual son to Paul. And last week we talked about how Paul reminds Timothy that he has been entrusted with the gospel. This wonderful reminder that Timothy, that you have been entrusted with the gospel. And so from 1 Timothy 1, we talked together about how we must fearlessly fight for the gospel truths over our lives. Well, this week, we want to look at the second exhortation that Paul gives to Timothy, that he has been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. So even as Paul is trying to encourage this young pastor, Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that that is the encouragement that God is wanting to breathe into our hearts this morning as well. when we think about this upcoming season. Maybe some of us experiencing the very circumstances of our lives change sometimes that we experience, and it's not easy. But regardless of what it is, I believe that God is wanting to encourage our hearts, to anchor us deep in knowing and having the sense of confidence that every single one of us who are in Christ, that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. That we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to serve and to walk in His power. To serve and to walk in His power. So the one thing as we look into today's passage for us simply is this, that we must desperately hunger for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And let me add daily. That we must daily be desperate. That we must be desperately hungry for the daily empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? So as we jump from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy, there's about a four-year window. So 1 Timothy is the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and then about 4 years goes by, and then Paul writes the second letter, which is 2 Timothy, to encourage this younger pastor. And so when Paul is writing this letter to him, Timothy has been in the pastoral ministry in the city of Ephesus. It's been about 4 years now. He's been experiencing a lot of ups and downs of doing ministry. And actually, Paul himself is in prison. He doesn't know what his fate is, but history tells us that he doesn't come out of prison, that he is eventually executed for his faith in Christ Jesus. And so Paul being in prison, he's not certain of whether he's going to make it or not. And he doesn't know whether he's going to have another opportunity to meet Timothy face to face. And so he's thinking about, how do I encourage this partner in the gospel? How do I encourage this younger brother in Christ? And so as he is writing this letter from prison, he encourages Timothy by reminding him that he is anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to your neighbor and just remind them real quick, hey, you're anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's two observations that I want us to make from these two verses. And the first observation comes from verse 6. And the first observation is this, that we have been anointed to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Say with me, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we have been anointed to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, he says this, for this reason. And so what is the reason? He's talking about how there is this sincere faith that dwells in Timothy. And he talks about the influence of his grandmother and his mother and everyone else around him who has breathed this sincere faith in Timothy. And the reality is that, yes, he is struggling. And, you know, the reality is that just because the circumstances might be difficult doesn't necessarily mean that the sincerity of our faith is somehow shaken. And so Paul reminds Timothy, because of the sincerity of this faith that is in you, he says what? That I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. To fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, from what we know, Timothy, he wasn't having an easy go at this pastoral ministry in the city of Ephesus. Ministry was a struggle for him. He's facing all kinds of opposition. You can imagine not only the opposition from the people who are outside of the church, but also the reality is that he is facing opposition from those who are inside the church as well. And so you can imagine Timothy becoming more and more tired and discouraged as he is engaged in the ministry, as he receives criticism and, you know, like helpful feedback, like, oh, pastor, you're too young. You're too timid. You don't know enough. And so you can just imagine Timothy becoming more tired and more discouraged and maybe even a bit fearful of just trying to be consistent and to stay faithful in everything that God has called him to do. And so Paul speaks into Timothy's situation. And he says what? He says, keep going. Keep walking. Right? Don't stop in walking and going in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so first, Paul reminds Timothy that he has been anointed to serve. That he has been anointed to serve. So when you think about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, like we're not thinking about this, I don't know, this mystical experience. No, Paul makes it very clear that it's the anointing of God that comes as he has been anointed specifically to serve. So he says, Timothy, remember the gifts of God that is in you. Excuse me, the gift of God that is in you as we laid our hands on you and as we commissioned you. So imagine Timothy, this young pastor, receiving his call into the pastoral ministry and all the leaders of the church in Antioch laying their hands on him and praying for him and commissioning him into the ministry. And so Paul says, don't forget that you have received this gift. Now, what exactly is the gift of God that Paul is referring to? Well, there's some questions on what that might be. Some scholars think that it's actually, when Paul talks about the gift that Timothy has received, that gift is actually the Holy Spirit of God himself. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, hey, don't forget, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. Now, while others think that Paul is actually talking about Timothy's spiritual gift and his calling into the pastoral ministry. So as the early church leaders laid their hands on Timothy and as they prayed over him and commissioned him, that Timothy received this gift of the pastoral ministry, of being able to shepherd the people and being able to faithfully preach the gospel. Now, I think, as we look into the larger context, what Paul is referring to actually is the gift of boldness and the gift of courage in testifying to Christ, even in the face of opposition that Timothy is facing. And the reason why I say that is because when you jump down to verse 8, and so he says what? For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And so Paul says, you have received this gift, so walk in the power of the gift and don't be ashamed. Verse 8a, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And so I think what he is referring to there is this gift of boldness and courage that Timothy received in testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are outside the church as well as those that are inside the church. But I think it's more than that, because it's not only about the courage to proclaim Christ, but I think Paul is also talking there about the courage to suffer well for the sake of the gospel, because he finishes that verse off, but he says what? But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So it's the gift of boldly proclaiming, and it's the gift of joyfully suffering. Share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And so Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, there's a gift that God has placed in you, this anointing that as God has poured out over your life, this anointing to boldly proclaim the gospel, and this anointing to suffer joyfully for the sake of Christ. And so when we think about that, to be bold in the face of opposition and to suffer with joy, it doesn't really make sense to us, especially when it comes to what it means to truly try to understand, what does it look like to suffer with joy? And the reality is that that's not something that we can try to manufacture within ourselves, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we went on missions this summer, and it was great. It was a lot of firsts. So it was the first trip that we went on since the beginning of the pandemic. It was our first missions team ever, except myself, that all of our members were women. And so it was a great trip. And so we had an opportunity to partner with the team from Ann Arbor, went to Chicago. And I really enjoyed the trip because I wasn't sure of what to expect. And I think as someone who's trying to organize, and Pastor Josh did the heavy lifting, but I try to encourage him in that, I think that the fear is, what if there isn't enough for us to do? But actually, the opposite was true of this trip. I mean, we were just busy all the time. And in many ways, I think it was very stretching and challenging because we've, for some of us, we've never had these experiences of working with kids and, you know, trying to engage with people from different cultures and just being stretched not only spiritually, but emotionally and physically and so forth. And every evening, like, we had a chance to debrief and to talk about our day and really share with one another the things that God has been teaching us and so forth. And just throughout the time as I've been observing not only what God has been doing in my own heart, but just some of the testimonies that the team members, so whether it's team members from our church here in Austin or from Ann Arbor, as they were sharing, I think one thing that really encouraged me most about our trip and our team was the fact that even though, yes, at times it was stretching and challenging, and yes, we were far from being perfect in how we engaged in the ministry, but I think there was also the sense of hunger that we want to see more of God moving in the lives of these kids and the people that we met as we went prayer walking and as we went to the beach to play volleyball and invite people to come and join us to share the love of Christ with them. I think there was a deeper hunger that we wanted more and more of God, and there was a sense of joy that drove us to the next day. And now, I'm not saying that the tiredness and the struggle that we experience is on that level of the suffering that Timothy experienced, or even the sufferings that the Apostle Paul experienced. But I saw a little glimpse of what it means to experience joy, even though we're being pushed, even though the circumstances might be difficult, even though at times it feels uncomfortable, that we can know the joy of God. And I think that's what Paul is talking about here. That there is joy in our suffering because of Christ. And so I think this is an encouragement not only to Timothy, but a wonderful reminder for all of us that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to serve. And that's why, unless we keep walking in the gift that God has placed in all of our lives, that we will never experience the fullness of who Christ is for our lives. Because in order for us to experience the fullness of who Christ is, you know, it's more than just coming to church and singing the songs. And that's why we've been pressing this thought and this idea that we don't want to be a church that's just driven by experience alone. Now, don't get me wrong, experiences are great, right? I live for the experience. But ultimately, we want to be a church that is driven by the presence of God, because it's the presence of God that helps us to understand, hey, this is my design, this is my purpose. And what Paul makes very clear is that part of understanding God's design for our lives is to realize that every single one of us, that you have been anointed to serve. Not you have been forced to serve, right? Not you have been guilt-tripped into serving, but you actually have been anointed to serve. That anointing means serving through relationships that we build with others. And as I've been hearing the different testimonies that have come out throughout Campus Missions Week, I mean, I think we're off to a great start. Even for our students, I want to continue to encourage you, because it's not just about the event, but it's about continuing to walk in this design that every single one of you, that you have been anointed to serve, which means when you go to your classes, remember that you have been anointed to serve, that there is someone in that place who needs to know and to encounter the love of God. And here's the miracle, right? That you can do that even as you study, I don't know what you guys take, Calc 2. You know, like Orgo and physics. And I was a science major when I was in undergrad, so I don't know what the history and, I don't know, like interpretive dancing, like whatever it is that you, right? You have been anointed to serve. And that's a mindset that we want to try to encourage people to cultivate, because I know that it doesn't come overnight. And that's why we really try to push for biblical community. So on one hand, yes, this is the church. When we gather together every single Sunday to submit ourselves under the authority of God's word, to really think about, God, what is the direction, the vision, the purpose that you have for us as a community of faith? But then this reminder that, hey, you have been anointed to serve, that actually comes as we do life on life. And that's why for us, life group is so important. And I want to recast this vision. We always say in our church that church doesn't necessarily happen on Sundays. I mean, this is church. But church also happens on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when we meet together, so that you're not just staring at some guy who's talking to you for 30 minutes, or you're not staring at the back of the person and you're thinking, oh, did they get a haircut? It looks a little bit different from last week. But it's as we get into each other's lives, as we share testimonies of what God has been doing, as we share our struggles, and through it all that we remind one another, hey, I've been anointed to serve. That even the smallest, see, to us, it might not seem like, well, what's the big deal? I'm part of hospitality team, and when people come in, I say hi to them. Well, what's the big deal? You know, the thing is, when you say hi to people, it makes all the difference in the world. And I know that because I've gone to many other churches where when you enter into the place, people don't necessarily greet you. And I'm not saying that, you know, no, I'm not saying that as a criticism. But, you know, I've had experiences where you just go and people kind of see you, but they don't really acknowledge you, and you're there and you go through that process and then you leave. And so on one hand, you did worship, but on the other hand, you just, you know, you don't really feel ministered to. And it's that anointing that comes, even when you say the words, hi, welcome. It's like the Holy Spirit of God breathing on the person. Hopefully it was fresh breath. But hi. It's like, bam. You're like, wow, I'm known, I'm loved. And I think we do such a great job. And I want to continue to encourage you guys who are serving so faithfully. And I know that at times it's hard, and our church is kind of unique, right? Because majority of our members, well, I guess still the majority, a good chunk of our members are made up of college students, which means we're not necessarily your ordinary community church where you have a large group of people, you know, like in their 30s, 40s, 50s, who take care of all the serving and so forth. So as a student, you just go and you enjoy the service and you get back. No, we actually, we encourage you to get involved. And so it's not just about going to church but coming back, but it's about realizing, man, how can I release my anointing today to serve and to bless the people around me? I don't know why I'm doing this, sorry. So through the relationships. And also I think sometimes through formal ways of how we can be involved and how we can serve. And pretty soon, going into the months of September, we're going to have experiencing membership class. We're going to have experiencing ministry class coming up for those of us who have signed, our covenant signing members, but you're not necessarily involved in formal ways of service. I really want to encourage you to pray through and think about, what does it mean for me to release the anointing that God has placed in my life to serve? Because even though, yes, it might be 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday, but it makes all the difference in the world. And secondly, Paul reminds Timothy to keep walking in that anointing. So he doesn't just say, you've been anointed to serve, and then that's it. No, he says, keep walking in that anointing, right? Fan into flame the gifts of God. And so this picture is, it's kind of like when you go camping. We have a little portable fire pit in our backyard, and I love making fire. If you come over, I love making fire. Maybe I was a little bit too enthusiastic, sorry. I like fires. Not, or that sounded weird too, right? I like our fire pit. How about that? Is that better? But there's just something like, just something about guys and fire. I don't know what it is. But once you get that fire started, I just love throwing more and more logs in there to see if I can make the flames bigger and bigger. And that's what Paul has in mind. It's not just you light the fire and then it's like this little poof, but you keep throwing the log so it's like this roaring fire. And he's saying, keep feeding that fire. Because the reality is if you don't keep walking in that anointing, then I'm not going to say that you're going to lose the anointing, but I think we do quench that anointing. He's saying, okay, Timothy, I know that it's been a struggle, but keep your foot on that pedal and keep driving and keep running. Don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit that has been started in you. But keep feeding the flames of boldness, of declaring and suffering well. Right? Because what happens when you don't walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And so when you begin to ignore the Holy Spirit's design and desires for you, what happens? What we do and experience here becomes a mere formality, where there is religiosity and there's spirituality, but ultimately there's no life, because for us, life only comes through the Word of God being revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you really want to experience life that Christ has for you, then keep walking in the design that Christ has for you. And I think for, especially if you're a freshman and you're starting your UT career, make it a goal for the next 4 years of your life to know that during your college years that you're going to establish in your rhythm of life a foundational understanding of this is God's design, of how He has called me to live and to love and to serve. So when Paul is talking about fan the gift of God, he's saying, don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we feed the flames of God's gift? Well, Paul tells him how to do that in 2 Timothy 2. But that's for next week. So you're going to have to come back. All right? If you want to know how to feed the flame that God has lit in your heart, then you're going to have to come back. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And so not only does Paul remind Timothy that he has been anointed to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but this is my last point. But he also reminds Timothy that he has been anointed to walk not only in the gift, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in verse 7. He goes on and he says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So he says, Timothy, don't forget, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Now, the word fear there in the Greek, it means having the spirit of timidity, being timid, being uncertain, unsure. And he said, no, it's not the spirit of uncertainty and spirit of timidity that's operating in your life. And so when you think about it, I think in many ways, the life and the testimony of Timothy, I don't know about y'all, but it's so encouraging to me. Because when you think about someone like Paul, he just seems out of reach, right? This giant of a man in the faith. But Timothy, I mean, he's just like us. I mean, Paul's like us too. But in Timothy's life, we see him struggling with the circumstances and the people and this calling that God has over his life, and he's struggling to be bold, and he's struggling to have confidence and certainty. And it's really encouraging, not because of his suffering, but it's encouraging to know that despite the struggles that Timothy goes through,
that God still uses this man to build up his church. And so Paul reminds Timothy, keep walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think we find this wonderful truth that this boldness that we are called to have, that it's not dependent on us. Right? It's not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on our personality traits. It's not about, well, I'm an introvert, so I can't be bold, or I'm not eloquent in my words, and I wouldn't know what to say, or I just don't know enough, so I can't ever be used of God in this place. No. Our boldness as Christians is a boldness that comes from this conviction that God breathes into our hearts as we go to the Word of God, and this conviction, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it breeds the sense of urgency, and we act on that conviction. So that's the boldness that Paul is reminding Timothy that this is what you have. That you don't have a spirit of fear that dwells in you, because fear is not from God. But he reminds Timothy, but in you dwells a spirit of power, love, and self-control. So spirit of power, it's this anointing to persevere and not quit in the face of adversity. Colossians 1:11, Paul uses that same Greek word power to say this. He says, being strengthened with all power. So it's the same word that he uses in 2 Timothy here. He says what? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for what? For all endurance and patience with joy. So it's not just power as in, yeah, I'm going to get things done. Because the reality is, are you going to get things done? I don't know. That's sometimes outside of our control. Even if you strive and contend for the faith, at times it doesn't really feel like we're really making headway, right? Headways. That we're not really moving forward, and that becomes so frustrating. But Paul reminds Timothy that it's not the power to get things done. It's not the power to move people from where they are to where you want them to be. But he says, no, it's the power for you to endure with patience. Excuse me, and patience with joy. So it's the power to endure. It's the power to be patient. It's the power to keep at it with joy. Not only with power, he says, with love. It's the anointing from God to live our lives in obedience to his word and his desire. When he says you have been anointed with love, he's not talking about just that warm, fuzzy feelings in our hearts, but we know that he's talking about the ability for us to obey, because Jesus himself told us, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says, love for me is not expressed in whether you sing with greater passion, but love for me is expressed always in your obedience. Obedience for what? Well, John makes that very clear. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So anointed with love means that we have been anointed from God to live our lives in obedience to love others. And with self-control, it's the anointing to reorient our hearts, our actions, our thoughts towards God. Right? It's being disciplined in what we do. And so Paul tells Timothy, you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, so keep walking in that power. He says, keep walking in that love. He says, keep walking in self-control. Because he knows it's not easy. And he knows that you can't do it alone. And that's why Paul, as this older spiritual father figure, is speaking into the life of his spiritual son. Because he wants to strengthen him in his faith. And I believe that this is the encouragement that God is reminding all of us. Now, I don't know your situation. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. I don't know some of the things that you're trying to wade through for you as students as you start the semester. I don't know your hopes and dreams. I don't know by the end of this year, okay, here are the things that I would love to accomplish. This is where I would love to be. And I think those ambitions are great. But what Paul would say is to make sure that you align those ambitions with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So you're not using the Holy Spirit to accomplish your ambitions, but that anointing of the Holy Spirit of God starts changing. Starts transforming. Starts breathing in you. Not ambitions that are temporary, but ambitions that are eternal. For some of our working folks as well, think about what it means for us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every single day we enter into our workplace. Or maybe experiencing the changes that come through seasons of life that we go through. And sometimes we get so paralyzed by fear, right? Either sometimes it's the fear of making a mistake, it's fear of the wrong things that we might choose, or sometimes it's the fear of, what if I commit too much to what God is, at least I feel like he's wanting me to do, then I'm not going to be able to do these other things. But Paul says, no, you don't have a spirit of fear. But you are anointed to release God's power and love and self-control. And it's the presence of God in our lives that's going to birth and reinforce within our hearts his power, his love, and his self-control, right? Because this is the gift that God has poured out into our lives, which means that there's nothing that you can do to try to manipulate this. And that's why. I think we have to understand this challenge in that bigger scope of how God calls us to keep going and keep longing and keep desiring for his things, for his holiness and his righteousness. And I just feel like for me, this is a drum that I'm going to bang on all year long. That we want to be a place, that we want to be a people where the Spirit of God loves to dwell among us. Because the atmosphere within our hearts, the atmosphere within our lives, the atmosphere as we fellowship with one another, the atmosphere as we go out into his mission, that he delights in that atmosphere. Not to say that we're going to be perfect, but to say that, God, we long and we desire your presence, that we're going to go after your holiness, that our lives, that we want our lives and our hearts to be transformed by your righteousness. And it's the presence of God that is going to come, that's going to empower us and enable us to walk in power, love, and self-control. And those are the things that are not only going to change our own lives, but those are the things that are going to make a difference in the lives of the people that we're trying to minister to. You are anointed because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. But just because you're anointed doesn't necessarily mean that you're walking in that anointing, that power. And so in order for you to unleash that anointing, that means that you have to walk in the gifts as you serve. And that means that you have to walk in his power as you boldly proclaim the gospel to those around you. And that's, I really feel like that's God's heart for us. That we don't just theologically understand, oh, I'm anointed. But no, we're actually walking in the anointing. We're releasing the anointing of God. that we're unleashing that anointing. How do we do that? Well, we walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we serve. And we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as we boldly proclaim the love of Christ to those around us. And so how do we apply this? So I'm going to close with two questions. So instead of me telling you, hey, this is what I want you to do, I think there's two questions that I want us to wrestle with this morning. First question is this: how will we walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? So the certainty is, yes, every single one of us who are in Christ, that there is an anointing, there's a gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. But the question is, how will you unleash that gifting? So how will you walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? This upcoming week, throughout this upcoming year. And then the second question is, how will you depend on the Holy Spirit so that you don't give into a spirit of fear, that you don't fall into a spirit of fear? Right, we're thinking about class load, and we're thinking, oh my goodness, like, what's going to happen if I commit to certain things? Am I going to make it this far or am I not? And so it's so easy for us to fall into the spirit of fear, the spirit of unknown. But Paul says, no, depend on the Holy Spirit. And as you depend on the Holy Spirit, that you're not going to walk in fear, but you're going to walk in power, love, self-control. And that's the victory that Jesus declares over our lives. Right? And so let's stand together as we close out. Will you do that with me? Just invite you, if you don't feel too uncomfortable, to close your eyes and just once again, in our church, we believe that when the Word of God goes forth, that we have to respond to that Word. And so I just want to give us a minute or so just to spend some time in reflection and just ask the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond to these words for me this morning? That you have breathed your gift into my heart. And because of that, that I no longer walk in a spirit of fear, but in spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of self-control. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me this morning? How are you wanting to shape and impact my life through your word? So can I just, I'm going to give us a minute just to reflect and to interact with the Holy Spirit of God for a little bit. Okay, let's do that. Spirit is speaking just words of encouragement to some of us.
and reminders to all of us. And so as we close out our time together and before our band leads us in closing worship, I just want to invite us to pray that simple prayer: God, unleash your anointing over my life as I learn to walk in your gifts and service, and as I learn to walk in your power, not fear, but in your power. And really, that's the design that God has for us, and we can understand that design through Christ, that Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's, yes, his death and resurrection that it forgives us of our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But as we are forgiven, we're able to understand and know and enjoy the heart of God. And through the death and the resurrection of Christ, that we receive the anointing of God. And maybe for some of us, that step that we need to take is that step of knowing who Christ is for our lives. And maybe for others of us, that step that we need to take is, yes, that even as we have professed faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, and in that faith, I'm going to continue to walk in the anointing of service and an anointing of power. Pray for that, the unleashing of the Holy Spirit's anointing over your life or for our church. And so let me invite us, let's pray together for that for a little bit, and then after a little bit, our band will lead us in a time of closing worship, okay? Let's pray for that together.